This is MIMO Med Talk. I'm your host, Amanda Weil. Joining me today are Dr. Murray Schwecka, a neurologist who specializes in headache care, epileptologist Dr. Susanna Okula, and director of ambulatory maternal specialty, Dr. Rodney McLaren Jr. We're discussing women's neurology, highlighting neurological challenges women may face with a detailed look into migraines. Welcome, all three of you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Okula, starting with you, tell us about the reasons that led to establishing the Maimonides Women's Neurology Center.
One of the things that really drove us to develop this was a simple observation. Women's brain health isn't one size fits all. We experience neurologic conditions differently at different stages of life, and often with unique triggers and risks that haven't historically been addressed in a focused way. And so we realized there was a gap in care for conditions that are either much more common or present differently in women, like migraine, multiple sclerosis, stroke risk around pregnancy and menopause, seizure disorders, and even unexplained entities like mood or memory changes. And women often tell us they worry about, but don't always get taken seriously. So then we asked, well, what would neurologic care look like if it were truly designed around women's lived experiences? And that's what led us to build the first center in New York City that brings together neurologists with OBGYN and women's health specialists to partner on care. Not just reacting to problems, but anticipating them in the context of a woman's lifespan, from preconception to pregnancy through menopause beyond. As they say, not every woman will experience pregnancy, but every woman will experience menopause. And so that's a big part of the mission, to really meet women where they are, listen to what they're experiencing, and walk with them, providing expert guidance that really reflects how hormones, life stages, and neurologic health all intersect and interact. And instead of then fragmented care, seeing one specialist here, another there, you really get coordinated, high quality, top of the line support.
Dr. McLaren, to pick up on that, if you're going to be individually focused on women's particular needs and each woman's needs, how does that relate with the research, which we know traditionally has not included women? How do you deal with your body of research when you are making decisions?
Yes, of course. So neurologic conditions are very common in the United States. A recent study that was published in JAMA Neurology showed that in 2021, more than 50% of U.S. individuals have a condition that affects the neurologic system. So this center is going to care for women within the Women's Health Institute, where they have certain hormones affect certain conditions differently, particularly during pregnancy and menopause. And a lot of our care is evidence-based, based on research. And, you know, as you mentioned, the women in general have less research, but of the research that we have, we are able to extrapolate and continue to push forward and contribute to that research.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kula, it sounds like we know that collaborating then with OBGYNs made sense for the Women's Neurology Center. Is this unusual?
I don't think so, but I think that having a centralized location really makes it easier for women. And instead of having to go to a couple different offices, the fact that our neurology suite is literally two floors above the OBGYN MFM gynecology practice is, I can see the eyes of my patients light up. Take epilepsy, my subspecialty, as an example. It's one of the most common neurological conditions in the US. And so you have about 3 million adults in the US alone living with active epilepsy, and women are a large proportion of that group. And so I do think we need to think critically about how to really optimize care. And I know we'll focus more on migraines, but they're real lives. And so I think that trying to navigate healthcare in this country, particularly in Brooklyn, is a challenge. And we need that coordinated, women-focused care.
Dr. Okula, what are some of the other neurological conditions that primarily impact women?
Great question. So something like multiple sclerosis, it's significantly more common in women than men. And in the U.S., women make up about 70, 75% of people with MS in the U.S. And myasthenia gravis, for example, is about half and half, both men and women, but younger adults with myasthenia tend to be more often women under age 50. And then I won't steal Dr. Shweka's thunder, but almost half of women in their lifetime will have a migraine. So it's really, this is really relevant to our patient population.
And just to add to that, Dr. McLaren, can you discuss hormonal fluctuations such as those related to menstruation, pregnancy, and menopause, how those influence migraine frequency and severity in women?
Oh, yes, especially in the context of pregnancy, that's when the hormones are greatly fluctuating and increase. Even during different parts of the pregnancies, the hormones cause that migraines to be more common or less common, depending on the point. And of course, along with the neurologic care in that aspect, that's where the center is great, where we'll have the experts just right upstairs on the latest treatments on how to take care of migraines. And you have our specialists, which will take into account whether it's safe during pregnancy and answer those kind of questions.
So getting to headaches, Dr. Shweka, I want to bring you in now. You specialize in headache medicine. What does that mean exactly?
So I completed my training in neurology, but then after I completed that training, I did a fellowship in headache medicine where I really focused on treating headaches and primarily migraine. And that's actually all I do every day is I treat people with headaches.
And how common is that for women?
Right, so migraine specifically is the most common neurologic disorder in both men and women. But for women, the prevalence is about 20% per year. So in any given year, that means that one out of five women will have a migraine, at least one migraine. So it's a really, really common disorder.
And you have expertise on a wide array of treatments for this. Can you provide an overview of treatment options?
Absolutely. So for migraines, and this is the same really for men and women, the first thing you always want to focus on is lifestyle modifications, things that you can do in your daily life that can help prevent or treat migraines. Some of those things are drinking a lot of water, making sure you're not skipping meals, getting good sleep, and addressing any potential anxiety or depression that a patient may or may not have. And then for medications, there are medications that you could take as needed, like ibuprofen or Tylenol, probably the two most common over-the-counter ones. And then there are prescription medications like sumatriptan, or more lately, a class of medications called gepants. And then for prevention, the things that can prevent the headaches from coming entirely, there are a vast array of medications, monthly injectables, Botox injections even. And what I find is that for most patients, we can find a treatment regimen that works for them.
And that seems to include prevention as well, treating the migraines when they come up and finding a way to prevent them from building up.
Yes, for every patient's different in what they need. So if someone is having one headache every couple months, then maybe what they need is something to get rid of the headache when it comes. But for patients that are having four headaches a week, that's someone that needs something to prevent the headaches from actually coming.
And can you talk about neuromodulation devices and digital devices and how they are used in your field?
Sure. So there are a few neuromodulation devices that are FDA cleared for the treatment of migraine. And what FDA cleared means is that it has been tested for safety and found to be safe by the FDA. However, none of these devices are actually FDA approved for migraine. And that's a higher bar where you need to show in very well-run clinical trials that the device actually works for that indication. The most common devices are ones that either go on your head and they stimulate above the eyebrows or in the back of the head along the occipital nerves. And these are very non-invasive stimulation devices, and they're really, really safe. and they can be used either to treat a migraine while it's happening, or it can be used daily to actually prevent headaches from occurring entirely. And the really good thing about this for women is it is safe, even if they are pregnant or trying to become pregnant. And that's a time period for a woman that their treatment options are more limited.
And how successful have you seen these devices and medications and all the tools at your disposal? How successful have you seen these be? Have you measured that?
I haven't measured it for my own practice, but from statistically with the devices, we don't have very large randomized controlled trials for those to say exactly what percent of patients benefit. There are some smaller trials for those devices, but nothing like the clinical trials being done for new medications where they have thousands of patients enrolled. What I can say is overall, the overwhelming majority of patients that come into my practice, eventually we will find a treatment regimen that works for them.
That's encouraging. Dr. Kula, how are neurologists integrating the lifestyle management that Dr. Shweka touched upon, such as nutrition, sleep hygiene, stress reduction? How is that incorporated into comprehensive treatment plans for female migraine patients?
I think it's essentially a lot of what Dr. Shweka's already touched on and something that we go over with all of our patients in terms of that hydration, sleep hygiene, nutrition. And then we actually have one of the neurologists that form part of our Women's Neurology Center is board certified in lifestyle medicine, which is a really burgeoning field that takes a deeper dive into some of the interventions long-term that can help maintain overall health, specifically in terms of reducing blood pressure, improving mental health, which has a direct feedback loop on neurological health. So I think that regardless of what specific neurological disease or disorder someone has, optimizing lifestyle factors really does play a role. We see that in epilepsy, specifically with getting better sleep can often improve seizure control. For example, there's a very strict diet that's often used for really tough seizures, for example. And so I have a lot of patients coming to me and asking, you know, what can I do? How can I optimize?
That's interesting that you mentioned mental health playing a role in migraines and other neurological issues. What are neurologists observing in clinical practice regarding patient adherence to preventive treatments among women balancing work, family, and stress factors?
I think that I can speak to epilepsy and seizures since that's my subspecialty, and I'll let Dr. Shweka fill in on migraine. But we know that women who have better control of seizures have overall reduced rates of depression and anxiety. And conversely, women with seizures are 3 times more likely than women without seizures to have depression and anxiety. And so we look at interventions that are not just taking a medication, right? So in addition or instead of things like cognitive behavioral therapy, group-based therapy, I partner with the Maimonides Mental Health Center for many of my patients to make sure that we have a fast track to help because that neurotransmitter imbalance that happens with seizure often predisposes to mood disorders, most commonly depression and anxiety.
And Dr. Shweka, do you want to add to that in terms of migraines? What are you observing in your practice with patient adherences to preventive treatments?
I find that patients are pretty adherent to their migraine treatment plans because the migraines are very often debilitating and the patient gets a reminder of that every time they have a migraine and they're highly motivated to adhere to the treatment plans. In regards to having a holistic plan, similar to epilepsy, if a patient has depression or they have generalized anxiety disorder and it's not well controlled, that can actually lead to a worsening of migraines and vice versa. The migraines are uncontrolled, they're more likely to have worsening of depression or anxiety. So it's really important to take a holistic approach to migraine care.
I want to ask all 3 of you to look ahead and tell me what are the most promising trends in women's neurology that could redefine how migraines are understood, prevented, and treated, or other specialties that you deal with. How do you see that developing over the next decade or so as We know technology and techniques are always just emerging.
I'll say first that the good thing is that there's now more recognition that the conditions in women may present or need to be treated a little differently to optimize the care. And I think that recognition is only going to help promote more of these kind of centers where women can get both specialty cares of the OBGYN and neurologist.
Dr. Okula, anything to add to that as you look ahead?
I think that there's a lot that's on the horizon in terms of interventions and care. I'll let Dr. Tweka speak to the migraine specifics, but I think that in terms of overall, there are a growing number of devices, whereas before in neurology, we had mainly medication. And so I think that's a really exciting piece.
And Dr. Tweka?
To go back to your first question at the start of our podcast about research and women not being included as much in the past, and that's completely changed. And now in all the new migraine trials, the pharmaceutical companies are including women at very high rates. And in fact, most of the patients in migraine trials are women, and they're trying to reflect the prevalence of migraine, which is, in this case, more prevalent in women. So all the research studies being done now are actually including women at very high rates. Additionally, since IUDs, intrauterine devices for contraception, have become more popular, it has allowed women to take medications that were previously dangerous for them to take in case they were to become pregnant unintentionally. And so the fact that so many patients have IUDs really opens up a lot of treatment options that wouldn't be available if they were on a progesterone-only pill, where the risk of pregnancy, of unintentional pregnancy, is a little bit higher. Or for patients that don't want to take or cannot take an estrogen-containing birth control pill, the IUDs are a great option. Additionally, there's a big focus now on going back and figuring out which medications are actually safe during pregnancy and safe during breastfeeding. And there are medications that we previously thought were unsafe during pregnancy, and now we're seeing a lot of data that they are safe. For example, sumatriptan, the oldest medication that was specifically designed for migraine, was previously thought to be unsafe during pregnancy. And now it's actually becoming one of the first-line medications we're using during pregnancy for migraine.
So that's a good example of changes as they happen. So as we look ahead, we'll be flexing with the research. I'm going to end with you, Dr. McLaren. When should an OBGYN refer a woman patient to a neurologist?
Yeah, so there's multiple conditions. First, an OBGYN should refer a patient to a neurologist if they have a neurologic condition such as epilepsy, migraine, multiple sclerosis, or, of course, if they have any neurologic symptoms where we need a neurologist to help diagnose that. And here at the Women's Neuro Center here at MIMO, we have the full range of diagnostic capabilities of pinpointing the neurologic condition that a patient may have and then directly referring to one of our neurologists within the Women's Neuro Center, where they won't even need to be referred to another place. It's all in just one center, one-stop shop.
Yeah, that's a huge takeaway for me today, is the importance of the center. And as Dr. Okula emphasized, having everything in one place. That makes so much sense. And it sounds like things are much more streamlined, both for doctors and patients. Thank you so much, Dr. McLaren, Dr. Tweka, and Dr. Okula, for joining me today and sharing your time and expertise on MIMO Med Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Call 718-283-7470, option 5, to make an appointment. For more information, visit MIMO.org, treatments and care, and then go to Women's Neurology Center. And if you found this MIMO Med Talk podcast helpful, please share it on your social media channels. To hear additional episodes of MIMO Med Talk, please visit MIMO.org.